Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mile High Bourbon and Rye podcast. My name is Zach, and I will be bringing you this podcast solo today. Unfortunately, that bug that has delayed us repeatedly is still kicking Angie's butt. She is not able to talk at the moment. At this point, it pretty much just seems like it's her voice that's being lost. So hopefully she'll be over that pretty soon, and we'll be back to some regular podcasts with both of us and both of us able to talk, because that would definitely be much nicer than this kind of crud that she's been dealing with for a while. Today, I'm going to be talking about the distillation process for whiskey from the grain to the bottle as a real basic general overview for anyone who isn't really sure on how exactly this delicious spirit ends up on the shelves of your favorite stores or bars. Afterwards, we're going to have a review of the Axe and the Oak bourbon out of Colorado Springs. Definitely a very good bottle, so looking forward to tasting that once again. But before we get into the meat of this podcast here, just want to take one more second to tell you guys once again about the Rocky Mountain Craft Spirits Festival taking place on October 26th up in Estes Park. You've heard us talk about it multiple times. I'm sure you're already aware of what it is, but if you haven't yet heard about it, definitely check it out. It's taking place, like I said, on the 26th of October, so just a couple weeks away, up in Estes Park. They're going to have a bunch of distilleries already confirmed. You can find the list on our post about it on the event, which is on our website. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. There's going to be live music, food, some activities, and of course you'll be able to taste and sample from all of the distilleries that are present. The tickets start at $35 a piece, and you get a souvenir tasting glass with it as well. Plus, you can get two tickets for just $60 and save yourself a little bit of money as you head up there with, you know, whoever it is that you want to take. And it's just going to be a really fun time. We'll be up there hanging out. We'll try to do a live podcast from the event so y'all can stop by, say hi. It's going to be a great time. We're really looking forward to it. Can't wait to see everything that happens. So, that being said, let's go ahead and jump into the process of making whiskey. Very first step in making a whiskey is deciding which grains you're going to use, or deciding your mash bill. If you're making a single malt scotch, you're going to be using malted barley. If you're making a bourbon, you're going to be using at least 50% corn for the grains that you're using. So, you know, just deciding what type of whiskey, what type of grains and everything you want to use, all of those obviously impacting the flavor in their own way, as we covered on a previous episode. All of these grains are stored separately, and then when they're ready to be used, ground into a flour consistency before moving on to the next step. Your next process, next thing you're going to want to do, is select your water. Water is key. It is such a huge part of making whiskey. Scotland has excellent water, which is why they've been producing excellent whiskey for so long. And Kentucky, being the original point of bourbon, has excellent water for making whiskey as well, as it sits right on top of natural limestone deposits, which filters the water and produces some of the cleanest and clearest water really in the world. It is truly an ideal spot for making whiskey. Now, with modern methods of filtering water, distillers don't have to rely on that naturally clear, perfect water that Kentucky gets. So, really, you can get good water anywhere around in the U.S. Still, finding your right source of water is definitely a key point. Whether you're filtering it yourself, you're buying it filtered, whatever it is, it is a huge, huge step in this process. Next, you're going to take that water that you've selected, take those grains that you've ground up and blended together, and cook them in order to allow the sugars from the grains to release, which is extremely necessary for the next step to take place. The resulting liquid after you've cooked up those grains is called wort, and the spent grain remains, the husks and stuff like that, are typically sent off to farms for animal feed. this is really cool. We've done a couple of distillery tours, especially around Colorado. One thing with Colorado distillery tours we've noticed is Colorado distillers are very proud to use Colorado grains. And once they're done with the grains, once they've got that spent grain, they'll send it right back to the Colorado farms for the animal feed. Meaning that nothing's really going to waste, which is really, really awesome. After they're done pulling out all the remains, pulling out all that, they have that wort, they take it and they add yeast and keep it at a consistent temperature. When that yeast is in there with the sugar, the yeast eats the sugar, produces CO2, alcohol, and heat, which is why you need to keep it at a cool temperature so that yeast doesn't die and can continue to produce the alcohol, which obviously is, you know, the biggest part of what whiskey is. Typically, you're going to get about a 9% alcohol by volume beer in air quotes, because it's not, you know, the same type of thing like you would drink whatever it is that you drink, whether it be Coors Light or whatever. It's definitely not the same as that, but it is called beer. Some distilleries will distill it for even longer than the 3 days, but typically you don't get much above about a 10% ABV. After that, they're going to take that beer, pour it into the stills. The still is going to heat the beer from the bottom. Alcohol vapors, because the alcohol will evaporate more quickly, move to the top, move up the still, where they're then condensed back down into a liquid, which, especially in the US, is commonly referred to as white dock. Really important piece of this process is cutting off what's called the heads and the tails, the first and last parts out of the still. They're not safe to drink. They've got, I can't remember the name of it, chemicals, whatever in them. Basically, poison. You can't drink that part. Which, if you've ever heard, oh, you drink the moonshine, it's going to make you go blind. Really, the moonshine won't do it on its own. It's if they don't cut off the heads and tails. You have to make sure that you're only getting the heart of the distillate. That's what distillers are after. That's the part that's safe to drink. That's the part that makes the product taste as good as it does. Once you've got the heart of the distillate, some distilleries will distill multiple times, but either way, once you've got that, you're going to pour that clear white liquid into barrels, typically. I mean, you can age them in a jar with wood chips, because there are some distilleries that have done that recently, such as Elkins, and still produce something great. But typically, you do it into big barrels. Barrels are charred, or they can be uncharred. If it's a bourbon, it has to be never used before to age any spirits. It's, you know, brand new charred oak. And then you just wait. And that's one of the biggest pieces of bourbon, is just that aging process. You're going to be able to produce the wort, then the beer, then the distillate, all relatively quick compared to the aging process. To be labeled as a straight bourbon, it has to be aged for at least 2 years, so, I mean, you're already sitting on a barrel for at least 2 years. Then you can sit on it for even longer than that. I mean, there's some really old bottles of whiskey out there. That's completely up to the distiller how long they want to keep it in the barrel and aging, and that's where a lot more of the flavors end up coming from. You're going to get all that influence, all that color is all coming from its time spent in the barrel. And that is the basic process for making whiskey. It's not a super in-depth guide, but we'll probably get into some of the more fine details about doing this in a later episode. This was just really meant to be a general overview, so that if you really had no idea what it was like to make whiskey, now you've got just a little bit better of an idea. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and jump into Axe in the Oak, bourbon out of Colorado Springs. This is first time we've really tried this one. Got contacted by Axe in Oak. They said, hey, we'd really like you guys to try this. Let us know what you think. And we said, well, absolutely. We'd love to do that. So we've got that here, and it is a 46% alcohol by volume. This is batch number 52 and bottle 411. Now, fun little fact, they also like to label on there what music they were playing during bottling, and for this particular bottle, they were listening to Matchbox 20, so cheers to that. This bourbon has a very light brown, kind of clear toffee color to it. On the nose, a little bit of toffee again, maybe butterscotch instead of toffee. Definitely can smell a bit of that oak, but it also has kind of a hard candy type smell to it. Maybe like those sarsaparilla candies, just very lightly there, but something that I definitely feel like I can smell on it. On the palate, pretty easy drinking, honestly. I mean, it does not really show any heat, really, at all. Only coming in at 92 proof, so it's not like a crazy overproofed whiskey or anything like that. It's definitely not barrel proof. But it really doesn't showcase that heat. It's nice and, nice and easy, but without being overly light. Some kind of roasty notes on the mid-palate. Maybe a little bit of kind of molasses, definitely some sweet notes, but there's a good spicy, like cinnamon, maybe black pepper, kind of complement to that sweetness. Really, really quite impressed on the mid palate there. For the finish, it lingers for a second. Maybe just a little bit, not too long of a linger, but it's a really nice finish. It doesn't have really any heat. It's not one of those ones that you would, like, feel going down. So on a, negative 5-degree day, you might not take a sip of this expecting it to warm you up from the inside like some higher proof ones are. But still is, very, very good, and a lot of people would probably prefer that as well. Also has kind of you finish the butterscotch hard candies. It has kind of that finish taste to it. Sweet, but honestly not overly sweet. It's definitely a really good one. Personally really enjoyed it. Think they did an excellent job with it. If you would like to read the rest of our notes on it, we will have the full review up on the website here shortly after posting this podcast, in addition to our ratings, some overall thoughts on it, everything, like that you usually get out of the reviews. With that, I'm going to go ahead and kind of wrap it up here. Before I head out, I would just like to say that if you are enjoying listening to our podcast here, subscribe to us on whatever platform you've been listening to podcasts on. We're on Spotify, we're on Google, we're on iTunes or Apple Podcasts now, as they've ditched iTunes entirely. And then especially too, if you're on Apple Podcasts, give us a review, because that's going to be the best place to review us and really help us reach more people. More reviews we get, especially positive, helps us, get out there. However, if you've got some, critical feedback, I would love to hear it. We would love to hear it, so we can continue to improve and hopefully make a podcast that everybody really enjoys listening to. Also, go ahead, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of those things. We're posting pretty regularly, even when we're not feeling well, because it's, a lot easier to post on Twitter than it is to sit here and talk to you for about 15 minutes. So go give us a follow on there. Just search Mile High Bourbon. Check us out and, send us messages. Shoot us. On Facebook, we've got a couple people that have sent us pictures of, their bottles that they've collected or new stuff that they've tried and what they've thought of it. And we love hearing that. That's what this whole thing was about, is getting people's opinions on, what they like, what they don't like, what products they've found, hidden gems, stuff like that. Absolutely love the interaction and stuff like that. So please, please go ahead, hit us up, interact, and, we'll certainly reply. We do our best to make sure we're talking to everybody on here. So with that, we'll see you guys next time. Cheers.